Thank you for tuning in to this message from Kingdom Heirs International, headquarters located in Flagstaff, Arizona.
I think that this week being the highlighting of borders is quite fitting, just in light of what the past couple weeks brought in terms of the teaching and everything Yahweh's been exposing. It feels very fitting that as we grow into more and more maturity and understanding of what Yahweh's called us to walk in, walk out continuously, that it only makes sense that there's boundaries, there's borders, there's lines that are drawn, there's things that are made very clear as we continue to move forward. And it's almost in most mindsets, especially I would say even in like a Western culture, it's been said before here among the family, but there's a funny dichotomy or like an inverse thought when you think about freedom being no boundaries, right? Freedom being boundaryless, borderless, without lines, and able to just kind of move about wherever you want and do as you see fit. But how we've been raised as a family in coming under the understanding that freedom is being under a system, but the proper system. And it is very fitting that as we continue in our journey, as we near even the end of Numbers and everything else that we're nearing, we are just continuing to be at the beginning of things, like it was said last week, as we reflect on journeys moving forward, but we just continue to be in a place where we're having to evaluate where we stand, look at our boundaries, look at our borders, and see how Yahweh has us fit within all those things. We are extremely eager, excited, and prepared for tonight, another week where we have the elder sister of the house releasing and teaching over this week's portion. I think that it's almost redundant to keep saying it at this point, but I'll keep saying it. But it's amazing, shocking, extremely fulfilling how real this all is, right? There's no question that we're being read by the portions, but as we continue to move forward, that we're not just spectators, but that we are active participants in his story. And we continue to move forward in that posture and in that understanding, right? I know that I could say this on behalf of the family when I say that we're filled with gratitude at where we're at. There's an immense amount of just excitement, gratitude, and eagerness to continue going. And it is so fulfilling when we reflect back on our journey and we think about where we've been, what Yahweh's done, and how we've been able to continue in all of that. As we reflect on the journey, we've been continuously raised, but we've been pressed recently in being true witnesses, testifying on behalf of how we've been raised. And it's from that place that we continue to be pressed in that we're ready for more, that we're ready to receive more direction, more teaching, more boundaries, and more of what he has to unravel in his story as we continue to be participants in it. And so I'll say all those things, but also want to just emphasize that whatever is stirred in you, whatever there is for you to speak over, release over the family tonight, the phrase that comes to mind is something we've heard recently, but I want to say, let it rip. There is an absolute anointing in the voice that we have access to tonight in you and all that's represented in that. And I just want to make sure that, not that it even has to be said, because I know that there's a confidence in you and your position and what Yahweh's done in your life, that you are a true witness and you are absolutely a representative of his heart and his voice and what he's called you to carry.
Yeah.
You do it obediently and you do it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a group that is ready to receive that. So let it rip.
Hey, thank you guys. All right. Who pressed in after last week's word into the new level of permission that you have, knowing the freedom that came in the way that you were released from Egypt and how you followed? Anyone?
Yes.
Yes? Did you feel a new level of permission in your life?
Yes.
Yes? Regina just shook her head, and that makes me so excited. Because Regina is one who has always just been open, vulnerable as far as where she is, what she's confronting, and she does it consistently. So a head shake from you. I'm excited. Not that I'm not excited about everyone else's, but I was thinking, Regina, how do you feel? All right, that's good. Okay, so tonight we're adding. Every week we're adding. Every week we're following more. So when Yahweh says you have a new level of permission to follow, I would expect that you're coming in here tonight ready to follow in a way that you haven't followed before. Because you just broke free from the things that hindered you from following just last week. So I just want to make it known that the word I'm going to release now comes with an expectation that there will not be hesitancy, that there will not be rebuttal, that there will not be a standoffish posture in anything that I have to say, because what happened last week has been established in you, whether you are allowing it to be fully established or not, the truth still reigns over this house. Okay? Okay, good. I'm excited. All right, so we're going to review a little bit first before we go into the rest of Numbers 34 and we go into, I don't know how much to give you right in this moment as far as Numbers 34 and Numbers 35 and the significance of the land, cities of refuge. We're going to touch on some things as far as like from a teaching aspect. At the same time, we're not necessarily going to break everything down because Yahweh does have a word, which he always has a word. But what I mean by that is mom and dad will always say, we have the resources and there's an expectation that we are studying or that we are in the portion all week long. So we should all come with a pretty shared understanding or knowledge of the things that are teachable. Right? Like the things that, that we can read from the content that we've been given that we know is grounded and rooted in what it is that we're following. We're all using the same resources because that's how we stay under the covering and the leading of where we are when we are where we are, right? So there are a couple of things that we're going to speak to. But really where I want us to get has to do with inheritance and what Yahweh's been speaking to about it being our turn to prove. Because there are some understandings that we have about inheritance that I just want to make sure we're not in an old place of expectation and continuous demand without recognizing that you do have to be worthy. Okay? And I want that to bother us. If it's already bothering you, it's okay because remember what was established last week, right? So there's a new permission because you're being led and we're acknowledging that. So we're going to get there, but we're going to start first with the permission that we received last week. Okay?
Okay.
So we talked about the significance of a review because it was a portion about a review. And whenever there's a portion that goes over something that we've already heard, the tendency just in our human nature, not necessarily our spirit, because you're all mature, you're all aware, and you know not to disregard or dismiss any of his word, right? That he doesn't just repeat himself because he's redundant and he's obnoxious and he just wants to hear himself say the same thing again. Right? It's with intention, it's with purpose, and it's for you. It's for who he's leading, and you are following, right? Okay, so the review, there was some significance that we stepped into with this review, and it was to remind you to reflect and remember so that you can testify. To reflect back on your journey. This is a life posture. It's not just when he reminds me, but he's teaching you a lifestyle. He's leading you in a way of living your life where you reflect back on your journey from the moment you met or the moment you said, I will follow, to now. Yes. That's a continuous lifestyle that you reflect. And the significance of being able to continuously reflect is so that you are always carrying your testimony.
Yeah.
Always.
Right.
Always.
Yeah.
Okay? It is your responsibility to testify to who He is. That's your literal responsibility as His. Is yes. to testify yes. as His creation. Yes. It's your responsibility to cry out about who He is.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And in our testifying, there are some things that we had become quiet in that He wanted to remind you how you've been led so that you know you have permission to not be quiet. Mm-hmm. Okay? What were you led by? What's the term?
High hand.
A high hand. What does a high hand mean?
Strong.
Loud.
Strong.
Victorious. Loud. Bold. All of those things. That is what it meant to be led by a high hand, which means that you did not. Does anyone remember what some of those were? Yes. 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 All of those things, I'm so glad you're carrying them because it's coming alive in you that is your truth, that is your testimony so that you can carry that when it's time to share your testimony in your very everyday lifestyle, right? You didn't legally escape. You're not a runaway. You're not a rebel. You were led, meaning you followed.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing something inappropriate. You're not doing something out of order. You're actually being set in order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So no more hiding. Okay. Why does it matter in our daily lives? It's a biblical mandate. It's an expectation that He has of you in relationship and under His authority, as well as it's preparing you for what's to come. If we can't testify or live a lifestyle of testifying to who He is, when there's minimum pressure, what's going to happen when it's time to testify to all of creation who He is, and He asks things of you so that the promise that He's made can be fulfilled, and it's time for you to step into that responsibility, and you still are in hiding?
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So He's preparing us now. All right. So that's the permission that we gained last week. That's what we're walking in tonight, which is why we can then receive a word from Him about expectations, about borders, which are going to translate into boundaries. And that's going to require us to have a little bit of shared knowledge, intimate knowledge of the significance of the land, why that matters, so that we can fully understand inheritance in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right, so the very beginning of Numbers 34, it says, these are the boundaries of the land being allotted to you as an inheritance.
Yes.
All right, so we have lots of interpretations and understandings of what it means to receive inheritance or what an inheritance really is. Right? In this context, and in the context of tonight, it's physical and tangible in nature, right? The land is literal, it's tangible, but it's also a reflection of covenant, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a physical, tangible expression of covenant, but we also understand that inheritance has to do with you inheriting the earth and His kingdom.
Yeah.
So it's physical, it's tangible, it's covenant, it's spiritual, it's eternal, it's all of those things.
Okay?
Okay? All right. That's inheritance. Now the land. What Yahweh has said about the land, because we've had portions that were very heavily taught when it came to the concept of land in general, because it was at the beginning when Yahweh was first promising Abraham and his descendants the promised land.
Yeah.
And all along the beginning of this journey, the word was speaking to the significance of land in the expression of how He related or the context of it in his relationship with his sons and daughters and with his people. The land, he said, is his. He said, the land is mine.
Right.
You can own the land, but it's not for your sake. It's for his. Do you remember the word about being essentially stewards of the land or co-owners or renters? We kind of talked about that as far as not seeing. I mean, that was a part of us learning how to let go of a false concept of what you own when it comes to the promise in general anyway.
Yeah.
Going back to even the word we had recently about you have to be careful that you don't have a false understanding of who the promise is for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then your ownership of the promise becomes twisted.
Yeah.
And when he says, I need that, or there's something in that that I need you to put your hands to, you'll say it's mine.
Yeah.
Okay? So we have to remember that the significant aspect of the land is that it's his.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. So the land is this tangible representation of covenant, but it's also a symbol of his faithfulness and his provision. All throughout Scripture, it is an expression of his faithfulness in the lives of his people. It's a reflection of his character when it comes to his word, the way that he will follow through on his word, and that he is a promise keeper. I don't know how to say that without sounding like 20 years ago. But can we have a real understanding now, more than ever, of what it means that he actually keeps his promise? And we can be excited because there's more promise that we know because we have seen it proven to be true, and we know now about his character that he is faithful, that if there is more promise to come, that he will keep that too.
Yeah.
Okay, so the land, I already said this, but to say it one more time, points to both spiritual and eternal inheritance. We're still gaining an understanding in pure truth of what does it mean that there's an eternal inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of kind of receiving the fullness of that understanding, but know that the land points to both. Okay? It points to your spiritual and your eternal inheritance. All right. Now, the tangible land, this I think is so beautiful about who he is. The tangible aspect of the land is a physical provision of a place to be in his presence. All along the journey, the land, or wherever they are occupying, I know I'm speaking to the promised land, but at the same time, every physical dwelling place, which is what's also powerful about reflecting back on the journey and marking every single place that they've been, that they followed and were led, because it is a picture of him providing a place to dwell. So it's a place to be in his presence and under his guidance, because every element of land ownership, beginning in Genesis, has been given to you so that you could co-labor and dwell with one another.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. That's good.
Under his guidance. He instructed on what to name, how to name it, how all of these different elements about the land itself, and he continues. So it's a place to be in his presence and under his guidance, a place to dwell with. Think about the land that they once, that the people once resided in, where they were not allowed to worship him, they were not allowed to live their lives for him, they were not allowed to praise or worship him or own who he was to them as a people. But once the promise was, I'm giving you a land where not only you can dwell with me, but you can worship me. right? So this is a place to worship. The land is a place of freedom to be able to worship who he is. All right. Starting in Genesis, we also see land is where we, his creation, human beings, where we exercise our authority and our responsibility. We know that there is more authority and responsibility to gain. There's still more of the promise that has not been fulfilled that will be, and there will be authority that comes, and there will be responsibility that we're given.
Yes.
The land is an opportunity to exercise the people's authority and responsibility again under his guidance because it's unto him. When you steward the land outside of his guidance or not under his authority, that's when issues develop. Okay.
Can you say that again?
Yes.
Sorry.
Nope, that's okay. So all I was speaking to is the opposite end of the spectrum, is that if land is an opportunity for us to exercise our authority and our responsibility under his guidance, if we step outside of that guidance, then that's when we run into things like idolatry, that's rebellion, and we begin to create things outside of him. Right?
Yeah.
Which, going back again then to safeguarding the promise, you have to remember who it's unto so that you stay under his guidance. So you begin to think the land is yours, and it's for your pleasure and benefit solely, then we forget who we're under and we create or birth our own things.
Yeah.
Okay. The land is also a foreshadowing of the future, which is why it can also be about our spiritual and our eternal inheritance, right? Ruling and governing the earth. So we kind of already talked about that, but it's a tangible representation of the fullness of covenant. When the word says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So I'm talking about the continuation of the fulfillment of a promise. Right? That owning land or the significance of that land being yours is for you to practice ruling and governing because you know that there will be a fullness of covenant that comes in a new heaven and a new earth, and you have to be prepared to steward and come under his guidance in whatever that looks like. Okay? All right. Do we feel like the land is significant?
Yes.
Okay, we're carrying that understanding in kind of a summation, not diving in super deep, but just an overview so that as we move into the receiving of inheritance, which in this portion is the land, we're not disconnecting the land from every other promise.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, or every other aspect of your inheritance. Because it's easy in a word like this to say, well, I don't have land. I mean, you could kind of see it as less significant, but it's speaking to so many things. Okay. Then we have the Levites. Who was really excited to, I guess, just receive? I felt like there was something that we were receiving in the Levites receiving their inheritance through him. Because you watch their process of a priesthood being established where he says, I will be your inheritance. They're not allowed to worry about land. They're not allowed to worry about their sheep or their cat, whatever else people were worrying about. They were safeguarding the word. And they were honoring and preserving that his dwelling place would be honored without any of that benefit. So their promise looked different, and talk about a promise keeper, that now we get to a place where he says, and this is how I will provide for you. I mean, that's faith. to follow to such a degree that you would be willing to lay it all down, all of what seems like an inheritance or your earthly inheritance, and then get to a place where Yahweh's like, okay, I told you I would take care of you. I told you I would provide. This is what that looks like. That's incredible. So that's faithfulness in the promise. One of the things that was super interesting that I'm sure kind of just got everyone's attention was how the Levites or the priesthood was established in all of the different cities, in multiple cities. We're going to talk about that a little bit more when it comes to cities of refuge. Okay. All right. Did anyone dive into just kind of an understanding of cities of refuge? A little bit? Yeah. Just maybe like the definition or a little? Okay. So if you go to Numbers 35, I wrote down verses 9 through 34, but you really can just read through. So there is more description on what he means or the benefit of a city of refuge. So a city of refuge, it provided a legal, this isn't just it's Yahweh, but it's also establishing a system of law and order. Okay, so this is a legal, safe place for people who committed unintentional manslaughter. I mean, it's literal. Cities of refuge. It's literal. It's spiritual, obviously, but it's also literal. Now, part of why there needed to be a place of refuge is because there was also an avenger of blood. Did anyone read about the avenger of blood?
Yeah.
Okay. You what? Oh, yeah. Kinsman Redeemer sounds a little softer. I like Avenger of Blood. But the Avenger of Blood is a relative that would seek retribution on behalf of. Okay? Which is also law and order. It wasn't something that Yahweh said was out of order. Otherwise, he wouldn't have created a place of refuge. It would have looked different. The focus would have been on the Avenger of Blood. Versus, because there will be an Avenger of Blood, because of the sanctity of life, which again, we know his character, we're not confused, we're not judging the way that he establishes law and order, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. We're not judging that because we're not God. So what we're looking at then is the purpose of the cities of refuge and what that means for us. Okay. So this was just to ensure that there is continued law and order, that there's a fair trial. All right, and that mercy can be provided if that mercy is warranted.
Yeah.
Now, the administration of these cities was entrusted to the Levites. So they were responsible for maintaining the sanctity and the order of the refuge. Talk about a role.
Yeah.
Okay? So they were set apart as a priesthood for service to Yahweh, and as they're dispersed into these cities, they're also given the responsibility of administrating this safe place for those who would seek justice and mercy in taking life. It wasn't a hideout. Okay? I don't want us to be confused about his character. It wasn't a hideout for a fugitive. It wasn't a hideout or a runaway place for somebody who was a murderer.
Yeah.
Right? It was a means to ensure law and order and justice.
Yeah.
Okay?
Good.
All right. Now, a couple more points
that I think are really significant for the literal knowledge that we're acquiring in this, but also the application of it spiritually, is that if a person was found innocent, they had to stay within the city limits. That's what kept them safe. Well, they had to stay within the city limits regardless, but this was until the death of the current high priest. That marked their release. If they went outside the city, so this is what's getting us closer and closer to being able to talk through borders and boundaries, okay? If they went outside of the city before the death of the high priest and they were killed by the Avenger of Blood, the Avenger would be in his right to do so. Why? Because there was a place provided for refuge. And there was order and there was instruction. And the instruction was, you stay here.
Yeah.
You stay here and you will be covered. You go outside and the protection that you had cannot be given to you. What does that sound like?
Yeah.
Boundaries. Everything that we have learned in the last 7 years.
Yeah.
Right? When he flipped our mindsets too about accusation when it comes to his character and what it means to be outside of his covering or his protection or his blessing. Okay, so you stay, you obey. All right, we're gonna talk more about staying and obeying, but first, I just wanna make a note about refuge, because what it makes me think of is the rescue cycle that we've come out of in religion, right? Do not take advantage of him being your refuge. That's part of what I hear when I hear, if you step outside and are left unprotected, there's something that happens when you step out of order or outside of that covering, and the way that we'll take advantage of it is then when we're in need, what do? We run back to a place of refuge when he said, I told you not to leave.
Yeah.
Right? We don't do that anymore, but we have to be aware that rescue cycle that we came out of is the same as taking advantage of him being your refuge. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, we understand that distinction,
what
that means. He is your refuge so that you can have your life set in order so you can follow and obey.
Right.
And then he can remain your refuge.
Yeah.
All right. We are moving on through. And that is the context that we're going to have out of the portion when it comes to the knowledge that I feel we need to have established before we receive by the Spirit the word of being worthy.
Okay.
So are we good on context?
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
Okay. All right. So being worthy. You do not have to earn inheritance. That's not what I'm saying. But you should prove yourself worthy to receive it.
You
do not have to earn inheritance, but you should prove yourself worthy of it.
Yes.
We have learned how all along the way. And that's what we're going to dive into for the rest of the night. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So some of these might be from this portion and they're somewhat literal. And then others are going to be things that we have watched and that have been established in us as we have left Egypt and received our inheritance. So none of these are going to be a surprise. None of these are going to be things that you haven't worked on already in your lives and in your personal relationships with him. Hopefully, they are a reminder for you so that we can continue to not go back to a place where we would take advantage of who he is as the Redeemer and as the one who gives us freely an inheritance. Okay? All right. Okay, so be worthy. How? You have to honor the boundaries. That's pretty literal from this portion.
Yeah.
But it is so applicable in every regard.
Yeah.
In your life. You receive the inheritance, you say yes. It comes with boundaries, you honor them.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Okay, don't get quiet on me now.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Including honoring who relays and who directs the boundaries. Because he had a lot to say about who was going to direct each of these boundaries and who was going to convey them and ensure that they were maintained. He had priests. He had specific individuals that he said, I want this man to be the one who directs this boundary.
Yeah.
What does that look like in your life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who helps relay and direct the boundaries in your life? There are people.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Ultimately, Yahweh, when that inheritance is given, freely given, and you accept, there are boundaries that are conveyed. Now, this is, just like Jason said in opening, this is the opposite of what we've known, so it can kind of, a little bit, hopefully not to the degree that it used to, where we can be like, yeah, I'm good with some boundaries. I get that. I get that my life, in response to the extravagant gift of who he is and the inheritance that he says is mine, I get that I don't get to just then do whatever I want. Right?
Yeah.
That's not hard anymore.
Right.
Okay. But what gets hard is when it becomes very real in your life every day in all of these little ways. That's when you're like, the inheritance, it's freely given. Right? That doesn't mean that there's not forgiveness. That doesn't mean that there's not all of the things that we know about who he is, but it also does not mean that you are free of responsibility.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So what we've known is a promise means no boundaries but complete freedom. We know that that's not true.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we receive the inheritance in order to be worthy of it. You know what I mean by that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You have to honor the boundaries. Now, there's something else that's significant about that that we also recently learned, which has to do with internal order and external order. Okay? So, when we honor boundaries, that's part of establishing internal order.
Yeah.
So, this portion is literal about external boundaries, but you are going to have a really hard time honoring external boundaries if you do not submit to the internal ones. Okay? Now, the external ones are louder, and I'm talking about rebellion of the boundary.
Yeah.
Okay? That can be louder, but where it's coming from is internal disorder. Right? Because if Yahweh gives me a boundary, or he says, this is the expectation I have of you, and in you, what you haven't dealt with is you don't like being told what to do.
Yeah.
Or you haven't dealt with pride, or you haven't dealt with I know better, or you haven't dealt with religion that you're free and no one should tell you what to do,
right,
or no one's smarter than you, then you're going to have a really hard time when he says, stand right there.
Yeah.
Stay there.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. Because in you, all of this other stuff is coming up, and you're like, you know what? As soon as someone tells me to stand there, I'm going over there.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just one area where there could be internal disorder. I mean,
yeah.
What was the list that we were given? There's a lot. Okay. All right. So honoring boundaries. Oh, one other aspect of internal order and external order is this was already taught on, but being an instrument of external order. So the opposite, meaning if there is a boundary that has to be established or maintained and you're the one that he asks to maintain it or establish it, you can't be an instrument of external order and maintaining boundaries if you're internally out of order, right? Okay. So that's the significance of honoring the boundaries. All right, proving ourselves worthy of inheritance. Another way that we have to do that, or how we should position ourselves, is by maintaining faith. Okay, the ones we're learning from, they have been following and were given boundaries and expectations before the promise was even realized.
Yeah.
So before they had it in their hands, before they could see it, before they fully knew it and experienced it, they were given boundaries and expectations. Now, if you are, this is what I mean about maintaining faith. If you need to see the promise in order to come under a boundary or an expectation, you're already out of order. Because you have faith that even if, I know that doesn't sound like faith, but even if I will follow and I will obey. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning before the promise is realized.
Yeah.
That out of faith, you obey and you follow. Now, another aspect of faith is that they submitted to the boundaries and expectations, fully believing that the promise was at hand. So you shouldn't need the promise, but because you know him, you trust that the promise will be fulfilled. So you recognize both aspects, that I have to obey and come under this boundary regardless, because I understand who leads me, regardless of if I see the promise in my lifetime or not. Or if what your understanding of the promise is, comes to fruition or not.
Yeah.
Because you are a son and daughter who has faith.
Yeah.
At the same time, because you have faith in who he is, you follow the boundaries and expectations because you know they're a part of fully establishing the promise itself. Okay. All right. Number three, in being worthy and how. How to be worthy of inheritance, you have to point back to the source. Okay. He gives you an inheritance. It's not for you to appear amazing. It's not for your personal benefit. It's meant to glorify who he is. So when you receive the inheritance and you walk out a lifestyle because of that inheritance, you are constantly pointing back to where that came from. It is not about you. It's about the one who you received it from. Inheritance was given to reveal who he is, not to be used to show off. Which, when we talk about being a true witness, I mean, that is the purpose, right? Mm-hmm. To show off who he is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so someone worthy of inheritance points back to the source. Yes? Okay. All right. Someone worthy of inheritance recognizes it as relational. This is number four. This is pretty black and white. This one. We do not cut off relationship once you receive. This is the epitome of what we've come out of. Right? Cutting off relationship once you receive, until you're in dire need, and then you beg to re-enter relationship. I need more of that inheritance. Oh my gosh. You could even see it as, I spend it all.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
I used it. I spent it all up. I have nothing left. So I'm coming back to gain more. I mean, that's the picture of what's happened. So recognizing it as relational can mean, okay, we can say, well, I would never cut off relationship with Yahweh. Okay. How about if I say dismiss relationship and expect or demand that you still receive? How about that? Yes?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that's ever done that in my life?
Nope.
Okay, don't get quiet. We've got to keep receiving this word.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay?
Okay.
Can you say that one again, maybe?
Yes. So to be worthy of the inheritance, you have to recognize it as relational. Do not cut off relationship once you receive, or dismiss relationship and expect or demand that you continue to receive. Do we understand what it means that inheritance is relational in general?
Yes.
That it's not a business transaction.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's not a vending machine.
Right.
Yeah. He's not a bank. And I'm not talking about your literal physical money that you would withdraw, but I mean the source of your life.
Yep.
You're not meant to go to him and expect or demand something that's outside of your relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
An inheritance is meant to restore your relationship.
Yeah.
Inheritance is intended to bring about the fullness of your covenant and of your relationship that we dismissed from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just in religion, but from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? That wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. To be worthy of inheritance, you have to remain loyal. Okay. So when I say be worthy, I'm talking about proving yourself worthy of the inheritance that you've received.
Yeah.
In order to prove yourself worthy, you have to remain loyal.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about loyalty many times before. We have gone through the different definitions of what loyalty really means, and what we learned about it is that it is action-based.
Yes. Yeah.
Loyalty is not a lip service.
That's good.
It is based on devotion. And this kind of devotion is wholehearted. What that means is that you cannot be loyal to something and have a divided heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
You cannot. That's not me saying, guys, I really think that what we've learned is that is the word of God. That is everything that he addresses when it comes to idolatry.
Right.
He says you are disloyal. If your heart is divided, you are disloyal. There's no excuses. There's no other interpretation. There's no other definition that you can seek out and say, well, I'm in progress. Whatever. Yes. But the progress or the movement in your life is because you are following to the degree that your heart would become solely, wholly, fully his without any division. Without any peace that's reserved for something else. That's the work. That's the work that we're doing now. We're learning, coming out of a culture of religion, coming out of a culture in the world, coming out of a culture in Western Christianity, coming out of ourselves and idolatry. We're learning what it looks like to live a life that is completely, fully, wholeheartedly devoted. Which means any other fraction, no matter how small it is, it can't be tolerated. It can't stay. It can't remain. Because as long as you allow it, you are not operating in the loyalty that he does. And that's all there is to it.
That's good.
You are a reflection of him, and he is loyal. His heart for you is undivided. Who he is, there is no division. There is no self. There is no self-preservation. So there can't be in you. Okay. What I mean by there can't be in you and a reflection of who he is that his loyalty to you has been and still is completely action-based. It's never been lip service. He has never just told you, you are mine, and left it with words. Never. Because there was sacrificial action. Continuously. From the beginning of our separation or our divided hearts, when our heart divided in our loyalty to him, and we entertained being loyal to something else from the beginning of time, this is a human nature issue. This isn't just a religious issue, although that magnified it, and we are having to crawl our way back. At the same time, it is an issue from the beginning of time in humanity, and he responded with sacrificial action because he's loyal. Now, the call on our lives is to follow as Yeshua did in sacrificial action. Right? Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is about to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will repay everyone according to his deeds. So you will also be held accountable to your loyalty. Meaning, your loyalty to the point of laying down your life, which you have an opportunity to do every day in laying down or sorting through the pieces of your heart that don't belong to him. Now, in our lives and in what's to come or whatever, there could be a literal expression of this. But for now, and in order to be in a place, it's just like we were talking before about if you can't testify in minimum pressure, how are you going to testify to who he is or live that out in pressure like what we've learned from the Maccabees.
Yeah.
Or whatever yeah. persecution looks like, whatever it looks like to fully follow, even unto death, if we can't deal with following him and denying ourselves in those parts of our heart, that's literally denying yourself.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure, because I'm like you, I'm pretty sure that those parts of devotion in your heart benefit you somehow.
Yeah.
Mind you,
yeah.
my divided heart benefits me.
Yeah.
But if I am to follow in the way that he demands sacrificial action, then that means I have to lose my life.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm trying to preserve when I allow my heart to stay divided. Right?
Yeah.
It's benefiting me somehow. It's allowing me to preserve myself. Or whatever that is. It is about you. There's no selflessness in your divided heart.
Okay?
So stop justifying it.
Yeah.
Because there's no selflessness in your divided heart. Mm-hmm. It is for you.
Yeah.
Because true selflessness is when you lay down your life and you fully give your heart over to him.
Yes.
And you are wholeheartedly following after the one who's leading you.
Yes.
Only then can you be selfless.
Right.
He knows how, we don't.
Yeah.
All right, so in order to be worthy of inheritance, we have to remain loyal. All right, number 6, recognize it as a gift. What it means to recognize inheritance as a gift is to steward it well. Okay. Simple.
Yeah.
And what's easy about stewarding it well is if you stay close and follow, you will.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you are infallible. It doesn't mean that you won't err. It doesn't mean that you won't sin. It doesn't mean that you are handling or stewarding it perfectly all the time, but what it means is that there isn't this complicated formula to taking this inheritance and honoring it. It's not complicated. To steward it well, you follow and you obey. Okay, so we recognize it as a gift. We steward it well. That's what it looks like to recognize it as a gift. What happens when you are, well, let's say you give someone a gift and you're thinking it's precious and someone just trashes it? I mean, does it bother you? Yeah. I mean, I would think so. I would think it would bother you.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about a gift. We're talking about your entire eternal inheritance. Steward it well. Okay. Now, part of how we, well, I'll just go into the next one and then we'll get to that. All right, so one of the things I said about recognizing it as a gift is obeying. Now, obey is our final point, okay? So, in order to walk worthy of your inheritance, you have to obey. Now, this is because the land will be given over. Okay? Regardless. Because he keeps his promise. So land will be given over. Inheritance will be given. He will keep his promise. But obedience brings fulfillment in the land. Disobedience brings opposition and destruction. Yeah. Like the whole thing, or just obedience will bring fulfillment? Yes, okay. So obedience will bring fulfillment in the land. Disobedience will bring opposition and destruction. Which points to recognizing it as a gift, stewarding it well. Right? So your disobedience can then cause you to be a poor steward. Which dismisses it as a gift. And then there's opposition, and then there's destruction, and then he's a bad God. When you were just a poor steward. Okay. Your obedience is a sign of gratitude. Rebellion is a sign of entitlement. Because I know that even in rebellion, you're still receiving the inheritance. I mean, I guess someone could say no thank you. But I doubt it. Especially when you are in need. Right? Obedience is a sign of gratitude. Recognizing it as a gift. Stewarding it well. Okay. I'm going to go over these one more time. All right. So we're talking about being worthy of our inheritance. You position yourself worthy of your inheritance by honoring the boundaries, by maintaining your faith, by pointing back to the source, by recognizing it as relational, by remaining loyal, by recognizing it as a gift, and by your obedience.
Love bullet point. Like, it's easy to like apply it. Just direct and like,
yeah.
Am I doing it? Am I not doing it? Check or check not?
Yeah.
Yes or no? And then you know where to go from there. Okay, loyalty is action. Right?
Right, yes.
Loyalty is tithing and offerings and first fruits.
Yes.
So, it's what we do. Easy money, easy understanding. Make sense?
Yeah.
All right, while you're passing that around, hopefully everybody remembered, but tonight's first fruits. So we will get to engage in that together as a family. We're stepping into... We're really excited about first fruits in our house. We're stepping into the month of Adar. A couple things that I think are really just powerful with this month is that it's speaking to the removing of the masquerade. And so whatever is just beneath the surface is what's going to be exposed. So when we're talking about being able to recognize those... being able to honor the loyalty of what he has given us and being able to express that loyalty back to him you're either, like, whatever is just beneath the surface is what he's going to be, is what's going to be exposed. So if our loyalties are in different areas, it's coming to the surface and it's going to be seen. So the other aspect of that is that your true identity then is also being reflected.
Yeah.
Because you're either mirroring him or you're mirroring something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's that aspect of just being able to recognize that what we've been sowing into, what we've been putting our time into, even going back to last week's word when Megan was speaking to, if you compromise, then you basically are submitting yourself to being his enemy, because any compromise is just rebellion. And you will, you turn into what you submit yourself to. So if we're in these little things of like trying to masquerade all these like little tendencies or these little things of like little bits of disloyalty or little bits of different things that aren't of him, you're just trying to cover aspects of being his enemy. And what is going to happen this month is you'll see those areas of where there's either disloyalty or loyalty in it. So just
be
clear in that.
That's good.
All right. We can head to the communion table after you respond to tithes and offerings.
All right, you guys. Does everybody have their communion?
Yes.
Okay. It's pretty much settled. Okay. All right. So tonight, communion, pretty simple. Just like the word was simple. It's no longer a transaction. Okay. But it is a call to be worthy. Meaning, we're not seeing this as you engage it as your transaction like you have in the past, where this is to cover, this is for me, but it is a reminder to respond to the inheritance. Okay? All right. So, whenever you're ready, sit.
All right. Just to close up, just to kind of reiterate what all Megan was teaching, at least in my head, I have an inheritance from my parents, and because I'm a brewer, I'm entitled to the inheritance, but that doesn't mean I can just, let me start over. So my parents, they worked for all that they have, and they're going to pass it on to me. So that isn't, I have the inheritance, but it's not mine. So it's not mine to handle. So because I'm a brewer, I get the inheritance, but because it's not mine, it's not like I have a job to have a relationship with my parents, follow what they want. There's certain rules and guidelines, but I'm not going to get the inheritance if I'm, you know, off doing the wrong thing and I'm not in line with what they want their life's earnings to go to or be passed on to. So,
yeah.
I'll leave you guys with that.
Thank you for listening to this message from Kingdom Heirs International. If you have received insight and revelation with this message, we invite you to claim that revelation by trading on the trading floor with this ministry. You can do that at kingdomheirsflag.org. Thank you.